to see you all. Good to be here. And boy, I've already been blessed. Amen. And your preacher, I want to thank him for inviting me to come. I received a call from him here back, it's been probably 8 months ago, and said that he had been listening to me online. Now, that kind of scared me a little bit. And he said, I want to know if you come preach. I said, well, I'd be honored to, and I am honored to come, preacher. Thank you. And so I got online to listen to him. Amen. And I thought, oh, me. Why in the world would he want me to come down there to preach to his people when you got a man of God like what you've got? Amen. And yeah, thank the Lord for the preacher that you've got. Boy, I listened to that message. One of the best messages I think I've ever heard on hell. I listened to that hellfire message. What a message. Amen. And thank you, preacher, for the opportunity to come. My wife, Terry, would you stand real quick so everybody know who you are? And thank the Lord for my wife. Privileged to be able to be here. I'm from Michigan. However, the disclaimer, my mom and dad were both born and raised in North Carolina. And most all of our relatives live down there. My brother and sister live down there. We're going to go visit them here the next couple days and things. But it's good to be with you for the day, and looking forward to and asking the Lord to do something in our midst. I'm a very simple preacher. You'll know that by the time we're done today. But if you would, grab your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 23, 1 Samuel chapter 23, and you can stand out of respect to the Word of God as we look at this portion of Scripture. David is on the run from Saul. And we know that Saul went after him numerous times. I counted 7 different times that he went after him. And this is in the middle of all that. And you know, this message is really truly going to be about those times in our life where we are just beside ourselves. That song kind of prepared the way for the message today, because, you know, there's times in our life where we just don't know where to turn. We just don't know what to do. And David's at that point in his life right here. Verse number 19, it says this, then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself with us in the strongholds in the wood in the hill of Hakilah, which is in the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. And Saul said, blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. Now, that's kind of a misnomer there. The Ziphites, they want to be on Saul's good side, and Saul, he's trying to kill David, and he tells them, blessed be ye of the Lord. Saul's no closer to God than the man in the moon right now. And he's using that terminology. Verse 22, go, I pray you, prepare yet and know and see his place where his haunt is. That word haunt there means where his feet are treading. It said, and who hath seen him there? For it is told me that he dealeth very subtly. He's making David look like the evil one here. See therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come ye again to me with a certainty, and I will go with you, and it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout the thousands of Judah. And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David, wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. Now notice verse number 26. It says, and Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul, for Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. So if you get the picture here, Saul's after David. Saul and his men, they come to a mountain. David goes one side, Saul goes the other. Saul figures he's going to have him hemmed in, and he'll have him compassed, and he'll be able to take him and take his life as he's seeking to do. But the very next verse here says in verse 27, but... And the old preacher always said, I love it when God butts in. Amen. It said, but there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called that place. I ain't even trying it. Amen. I ain't going to slay that any worse than what I would. You know, Years ago, I read a book. I've got it in my library by Dr. Lee Robertson, a book entitled Faith That Moves Mountains. And if you've seen it or read it, it's a big old book, 57, 58 chapters long, and it's all about mountain-moving miracles, about how God, by faith, moved mountains out of people's lives. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, the truth of the matter is, I think sometimes we think if we can just build our faith up to a certain point, then things will take care of itself. But that has nothing to do with faith. Faith has everything to do with God. Amen. Amen. You and I don't have the ability to be able to move mountains, but we've got a God that sure can. And if we keep our mind and our focus on Him, He can do those things for us. But another thing about this is, you know, the mountains that are in our life, the thing about it, we can't see around it. We don't know what's going on the other side. Saul didn't know what he was going to come upon with David. David didn't know what he was going to come upon with Saul. But one thing about it, we've got a God that sees both sides of the mountain. And that's what I want to kind of preach about this morning for just a few moments. I want to try to encourage you with the fact that God sees both sides of your mountain. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what you're going through, but thank God there's a God in heaven that sees both sides. He said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 32, your heavenly Father knoweth that you had need of all these things. Do you know that God knows when you and I need a mountain in our life? He knows when we need a trial in our life. He knows when we, why, hey, and get this. This is really what the message is really truly all about. He puts those mountains in our way most of the time just to get our eyes back on the God of the mountain, just to get refocused back on Him. So I want to preach on that simple little thought. God sees both sides of your mountain. Father, I pray you'd bless the next few moments that we have to spend together. I pray that you'd use me to be a help and a blessing to these dear people, Lord. Thank you for stirring my soul already. I pray that you would challenge us today. Lord, I beg you, if there's somebody here today that does not have their eternal destiny secure, that Father, today they would trust Christ before it's eternally too late. We'll be very careful to give you the glory for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. As I said, I'm a very, very simple preacher. You'll understand that in just a few moments. The first point of this, I'm going to give you just 3 points today. The first point is simply this. God sees both sides of your mountain and only He can deliver. What do you mean? Well, we like to think that we can fight through anything and we can make things happen. I'm going to tell you something. We don't do anything without God and His help. Amen. What are you saying? Hey, if there's a mountain in our life, we ain't going to get ourselves through it. It's only going to be that God delivers us from that mountain and situation in our life. David had no hope here. Man, he was being encompassed. You think David just had a little band of men with him, but Saul had this a great army with him, and he had him encompassed, but God intervened. Amen. And God delivered him from that situation. Look back in 2 Kings chapter 6 and another story here. I love this story. 2 Kings chapter 6, and notice what it says in beginning in verse number 8. It says, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, now this is Elisha, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. So what happened is, the king of Syria, he hears about the, he goes to battle against Israel here, and Elisha, the man of God, is told by God that he's doing this, and he warns him not to go down there. And so he did. He went down there. He checked it out, found out that they were there, and it says he saved himself, and not once nor twice. Verse 11 says, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Can I paraphrase that? There's a snitch in the camp. Who is it? Somebody has told that king about this. And the next verse says, and one of his servants said, none, O my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet, that man of God, that's in Israel, telleth the king of Israel words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. He said, it's that man of God down there. He's telling him what you talk about even when you're in your privacy of your bedroom. And it says, he said, go and spy where he is. that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is at Dothan. Therefore send he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God, that would be Elisha's servant, was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do now, Elisha? Look at this. We're surrounded. We're hemmed in. Man, you talk about a mountain in your life. And it goes on to say this. He answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Amen. Now, you got to believe that that servant was thinking, My man of God has lost his ever-living mind, man. What is he talking about? Yeah. How can it be that there's more on our side than there is on their side? Just look at all these people. It says, And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Hallelujah. What are you saying? Man, they thought that they were in a fix. The servant of the man of God. They thought, well, we're in trouble. We can't get out of this thing. But Elisha said, God, would you just open his eyes? I know you got this, but would you open his eyes and show him that you've got this thing? Boy, I wish we could just see when those mountains come into our life how God's got it all cared for, man. He's got it all taken care of. If we just get our eyes off the mountain, get our eyes back on the God of the mountain, we wouldn't have as many difficulties and problems that we have in this life. Hey, he's the only one that can deliver from our situation. I think back in the book of Daniel. I love the book of Daniel. Think about those Hebrew boys and how that they faced that fire. And they said, you know what, King? We're not careful to answer you concerning this matter. Our God is able to deliver us from the fire. And he will deliver us from your hand. Amen. What are you saying? Man, if we could just have faith like that, just to trust and believe that God is who he says he is. Amen. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. If we could just get back to having faith to believe, he's the God that will deliver us. Amen. Think about this. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 39 says, See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. Amen. I kill and I make alive. Amen. I wound and I heal. Amen. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Amen. Well, you know what that tells me then? That tells me, preacher, that not only me, but my mountain and my situation is right in the hand of God. Amen. What do you mean, man? He knows exactly what's happening. He's the one who allows the things to happen that happen in our life, and he's the only one that can deliver us from those things too. Amen. Thank God. I was thinking of at the Red Sea when Moses got to leading the children of Israel out. And of course, Pharaoh decides, no, we're going to go ahead and kill him anyway. So they take off after him. They get to the Red Sea. You talk about being between a rock and a hard spot. I mean, they've got the Red Sea before them. They look back and here comes Pharaoh and the whole host of the Egyptian army. Yeah. Well, what are you going to do now? Man, God says, you tell them, stand still and see the salvation of God. Amen. And that it wasn't nothing to God. Can I tell you today, your situation ain't nothing to God. Amen. He's big enough to care for it. He's big enough to move that mountain in your life. Amen. And the host of the Egyptian army's coming at him, and God puts a wall of cloud between them to protect them. You say, yeah, but they still had the Red Sea. Yeah, exactly. And they turned back, and they held the rod out over the sea. I know what y'all are thinking. Charlton Heston holding the rod out over the Red Sea. You see that old Red Sea part of space big enough to get a couple chariots down and running through there? That ain't the way it was.
No.
They've studied that thing out many times, and they say God had to part that Red Sea of space about 3 miles wide so they could get through 5,000 abreast to get through in one night. Amen. Man, that's the God we serve. Amen. Praise God. Praise his name. What are you saying? Man, he's the God that can deliver. The only one that can deliver. You know, Psalm 91 and verse 14 says this, Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Maybe God just wants us to fall back in love with him when the mountains come into our life.
Amen.
So he can prove that he can get us through and deliver us from the situation. And I love Psalm 18. What did David say? I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress.
and my deliverer. Amen. Who's your deliverer today?
Is it a credit card in your wallet? Or is it the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Amen. That helps you through the situations you go through in your life. I was thinking about so many times in my life, difficult situations and things that I couldn't get out of. I was thinking about, traveling down to visit my mom one time. She living down in North Carolina, and she lived in, anybody knows the, may know of this little hole in the wall, Burnsville, North Carolina. And I was going down there to visit her. She'd been sick, and I spent some time with her, and I was headed back home up to Michigan. And at that time, I was living in northern Michigan. And Michigan is a state that during the winter time, it's like two different countries. I mean, the lower half of the state may not have much snow, may not have any, but you get about 250 miles up into the state, and it can go from no snow to 4-foot base of snow on the ground, just like that. And so I'm driving along, and I'm getting close to where I'm getting to home. I'm probably about 30 or 40 miles from home. And all of a sudden, here comes the snow, man. I'm telling you, it's like blizzard conditions. Snow blowing all over the road and everything. And I'm thinking, man, how am I going to make it the rest of the way home? It's one of those where I got to roll the window down and see if I can see the middle line in the road. And then the road parts, and there's two lanes going north, and there's two lanes going south, and there's a median in between, a median of pine trees that's that far up north. So I'm driving along. You say, what are you doing? I'm slowing down, and I'm just praying, Lord, I've had a great day with God that day. All of a sudden, you know how things come along and they can just mess things up, amen? And I'm thinking, man, Lord, you got to help me through this. I can't make this. I can't get through this. And so I'm driving along, and I look up and I see I'm almost to my exit, and I see the last overpass over the highway before I get to my exit. And as I'm getting close to it, I see that under the overpass there's water. And I thought, well, I better slow down a little bit more. And as soon as I got to it and hit it, I realized it wasn't water. Yeah. But it was water, but it was hard water, if you know what I mean. It was ice, man. And I'm telling you, I hit that water, and you say, what did you do? Man, the car started turning sideways, and man, I'm turning the wheel, trying to cut the wheel back, hoping maybe it'll bite and catch. And I love these people who say, well, if you had a four-wheel drive, let me tell you something, ice don't care about your four-wheel drive. And I'm turning, trying to turn that wheel, hoping it'll catch and bite and come back around. And the next thing I know, I'm looking at the trees in the median now. And all of a sudden, it catches and it starts to swing back around. Man, I'm telling you, I'm about to praise God. And the next thing I know, I'm looking at trees on the other side of the road. Man, I'm telling you, I was back and forth across that road 4 or 5 different times, and I'm just praying. You say, what are you doing? Prayer flares. Amen. God, please, you don't have time. Now, dear Heavenly Father, would you please? No, you're just, God, please protect me, help me, deliver me from this. And it went sideways this way, and I'm coming over by the ditch there, and it's 4 foot of snow. And I'm praying, God, please, please protect me. Please keep me safe. And it was as if God just picked me up and put me in a pillow. That car didn't shake. It didn't nothing. I'm just stuck in 4 foot of snow on the side of the road. Man, I just dropped my head. I'm looking at the pine trees. I dropped my head, and I just, thank you, dear God. Thank you for protecting me, keep me safe. I opened my eyes, and I saw a glint of light, and I looked up the road the way I should have been going. I looked up the roadway there, and there's top lights on a state trooper backing up to me. I mean, I'm thinking, what in the world? How did that happen? And behind him, there's top lights on a tow truck. Honest to God, God can strike me dead if I'm not telling you the truth. Right on the spot. Back right up to me. I'm trying to get the door open. I'm kicking the door and pushing it, and I can't get it open because of the snow. And the state trooper comes up behind the car and taps on the trunk, and he says, hey, bud, stay in there. I'll get you out. Okay, so then they pulled me out, they righted me, they got me headed up on the highway there in the right direction and everything. I got out, and state trooper said, how's that for service? I said, man, that's good, I like that. I turned to the tow guy, I said, what I owe you, bud? He said, nothing. I said, why? He said, man, there's a turnaround up here, and then I remember there's a turnaround through those pine trees. He said, we'd just been on an accident on the other side. We were just coming through to head back to Gaylord, and we saw headlights going back and forth across the road. We thought, you know what? We better stay here for just a minute. You say, man, what a story. What a God. Amen. What a God. Amen. Before I went into ministry, I got started late in the ministry. I was 38 when I went into ministry. I was a fireman before that, professional fireman. Man, I'm telling you, I've seen accidents. I've seen cars hit less than what I hit, flipped and rolled and killed people that we worked on. What are you saying? But God. Hallelujah. What are you saying, man? We've got a God that can deliver from the situations of our life. The second thing is this. Not only God sees both sides of your mountain and only he can deliver, but secondly, only he can supply. You know, sometimes the things that come into our life, the mountains that come into our life are really just something where, man, we just need God to show his hand that he can supply something. And I know when I say that, probably most people are thinking, yeah, I could use a few more $100 in my pocket right now. But the truth of the matter is I'm talking about any and everything. What is the supply that you are in need of today? What's the mountain in your life and you've got a supply that you really need God to prove himself with? He's the same God that can deliver you. Amen. But look back in Genesis chapter 22. I love this story. Man, what a powerful story about a man who had faith in God, who had learned by experience that he could trust God. Of course, it's a story of Abraham and Isaac. And it's the first thing I think of when I think of this, how God supplies. It says in verse 1, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. That's always amazed me that God would ask him these. By the way, he didn't tempt him to sin. Amen. He just tempted him with a trial. Just to see, are you really going to trust me? Man, I tell you so many times, the trials in our life, the mountains in our life, is God saying, are you really going to trust me? Amen. It says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Amen. Man, that's the first mention of worship in the Bible. Man, that's a whole nother message. Boy, that's a great thought. What, it was a man going through a trial in his life that said, God, I'm going to worship you. And I'm going to trust you for what you told me, that my son was the promised seed. And we know Hebrews chapter 11 tells us if he believed if he was going to take his life, he'd raise it back up again. Amen. Amen. That was the promise of God. Amen. We continue and it says verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. That just amazes me too, that son was so submitted to his daddy, to just trust his father in this situation that they didn't see any way out of. It says, and Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Boy, so much theological significance there. Amen. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. But a present situation also. It says, so they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar and upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his knife and his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called on him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, the supply. Amen. Amen. A ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Hallelujah. Man, God came just in time. Hey, I don't know, maybe you've heard this message. I heard Joe Arthur preach a message one time on this passage, and he was talking about when Abraham and Isaac were trudging up the mountain on this side, God had that ram climbing the mountain on the other side. Amen. God knows exactly what we need. He's the one that can supply. What does it tell us there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. God can supply any and everything we need in our life.
We just need to get back to trusting him. Get our eyes off of our mountain, off our situation, and get it back on him. Man, he'll deliver us. He'll supply what we need. Amen. I was traveling one day and going from Michigan to Kansas. And it was over Labor Day weekend. And I was traveling on a Friday. And I was trying to get to the church there. They're having a men's meeting. And I was preaching for them on Sunday. I wasn't preaching for the men's meeting. But I'm driving through. I'm around the St. Louis area. And my car started acting up, and it was going crazy, and it was dying on me. And I'd sit there for a little bit, and I'd pray, and I'd turn it and start back up again. And I'd go about another 4 or 5 miles, and it'd die again. And it kept doing that, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do here? I got off the exit there. I asked the people there at the little gas station. I said, is there a mechanic anywhere? And he said, well, there's one up a road back here. He said, about a mile off the highway here, if you can make it up there. And I said, well, I'll see if I can. I got it started again, headed up there. I got in there, pulled in right about, it was between 4:30 and 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm it's on the Friday of Labor Day weekend. And I go in, I said, buddy, is there any way you can help me with this? I got something wrong with my car. I need somebody to look at it, try to fix this thing. And he goes, sure, I'll take a look for you on Tuesday. And I said, Tuesday won't work, man. I need it now. I'm supposed to be at this church. I'm supposed to be preaching on Sunday. And he said, man, it's Labor Day weekend. I can't do that. And he said, but I'll take a look at it. So I called the preacher where I was going. And he said, man, we're just about to start the men's meeting. I can't, you know, we can't come over right now. Is there a motel anywhere nearby? I said, well, there's one up by the highway where I got off, about a mile away. And he said, well, can you get there? And I said, yeah, I can get there. He said, get you a room, and we'll bring a trailer over and pick the vehicle up and bring it with you. We'll fix it over here. I said, okay. So I asked the guy, can I leave the vehicle here just for the night? And he goes, sure, no problem. And so I'm thinking, man, this is going to look really weird. But I pulled my suitcase out of the car, and so I'm walking down the road with my suitcase, you know, traveling down the highway. And I get up there, and there's this Drury Inn there. And I'm just praying the whole way, you know, Lord, I don't know what's going on here, but I'll just try to trust you, whatever you're doing. I get in there, I walk in the motel, and there's a line of people, and I wait my turn. I get up there, the lady, and she says, yes, sir, can I help you? And I said, yes, ma'am. I said, I'm looking for a room for tonight. And she looked at me, and she said, yeah, you and a million other people too. And I looked at her like, okay. And then she said, I'm sorry. She said, you must not be from around here. And I said, no, ma'am, I'm from Michigan. I'm heading to Kansas. And she goes, oh. She said, we had tornadoes come through here last night. We've got over a million people without power. She said, you won't find a motel room within 100 miles of here. And I look around, and there's people laying on the floor, sleeping all over in the lobby and everything. And I'm thinking, oh, okay. She said, I'm so sorry. I said, it's not your fault. That's all right. I'm thinking, Lord, I ain't never done this before, but I guess a viaduct doesn't sound too bad. I mean, sleep under the viaduct, whatever I got to do, you know, I ain't too good for that. So I looked over, there was a Taco Bell across the road, and I went over there, and I got me a drink, and just sitting there praying. And it was like the Lord said, just get a phone book and start calling, you know. So I went back over to that motel to ask him if I could use a phone book. And as I walked in the door, there's still people all over everywhere. And the lady saw me that I had talked to before, and she goes, sir, come here a minute. And so she brings me around all these other people, and she says, my manager wants to talk to you. I think she didn't know I was coming back. I don't know. So I go around the corner there, and the manager's standing there. She said, you're stranded going from Michigan to Kansas. And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, how'd you like to sleep in a conference room tonight? I thought, conference room, viaduct. I'll take the conference room. She said, we've got a conference room here. I got one rollaway bed left, and I can put that in the room for you. Hey, if you want a TV to watch some sports or news or whatever, I can bring that in for you. You can use our bathroom over here. Hey, tomorrow morning when we clean a room upstairs, you can go use the shower up there and everything. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. Man, I tell you, it humbled me so, preacher, I just, tears welled up in my eyes. So I begin to think, God knows exactly where I'm at. He knows exactly what's going on. I know better than any of these people here. But God just looked down and said, you know what? I got it. I'll take care of it for you. Don't you worry about it. Hey, if God can do that for me, he can do that for anybody. Amen. I know who I am. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying, I'm thanking God that we've got a God who can supply our needs. I was in Missouri preaching, and boy, I tell you, when we first got started in the ministry, we went into the ministry with
basically what we had, our little possessions that we had. We went to a camp, worked in the camp ministry down in West Virginia. God called me. I left the fire department with 5 years to go to retire. I had 6 years military time. I had 15 years in the fire department. But God called. And so I just trusted him and we stepped out. We didn't get a salary at the camp. We're just trusting God, just trying to serve the Lord, trying to live for God. And I'm telling you, he met needs every step of the way. Cared for, supplied everything that we need. Man, you look at me. I ain't gone without any meals. Amen. God's taken care of us. I was thinking about, here's another one of those comical things. The preacher that I went to in northern Michigan after I left the camp ministry, he wanted me to help him start a Bible college. I said, "Preacher, I ain't never been to a Bible college. I don't know. I mean, I went in the ministry green. I'd taken some courses, but I ain't never been to a Bible college." He says, "Well, I think you can help me start." So I helped him start this Bible college. And I took 2 years off the road in evangelism. I had some churches that supported me a little bit that were helping me. Well, they all dropped my support when I worked with the college. I figured that would happen. Well, I knew I was only going to work with them for 2 years. So I get back on the road again. And first meeting I had, it was a preacher friend of mine said, "I want you to come preach for me before you do anybody." So I went down there to Jefferson City, Missouri. And I'm preaching for him. I didn't have pretty near two nickels to rub together. I had a $5 bill in my pocket is what I had. I get down there at this church to preach for him. And I'm driving this old boat. I called it the boat. It was a big old Park Avenue, big old Buick Park Avenue. And man, that thing, I had one other vehicle. It was a decent vehicle. I left it for my wife. I'm driving that old boat down there. I get there. I pull up to his house on Monday after preach for him Sunday. Monday, I pull up to his house with that vehicle. And I heard something go wrong with the car. And I get out and the tires had gone flat. And so I the preacher come out of the house. He said, "Well, come on in. Let's have lunch." I said, "Preacher, I got a flat tire." And he says, "Oh, we'll talk about it. We'll get it fixed later." And man, all I could think about, man, I got $5 in my pocket. How am I going to get this tire fixed? I don't. And honest to God, that's what I had, $5. I didn't have a credit card. Amen. So I'm, and he says, "Well, we'll take care of it." I said, "Do you know anybody that could fix that or something?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I got a guy that sometimes I take stuff to, and he helps me out. Maybe he'll fix it for you for nothing. Don't worry about it." And I said, "Okay." I didn't want to tell him I didn't have any money. So he said, "I'll tell you what. You take my truck. I'll take your car. I'll get it fixed. We'll bring it to church tonight." I said, "Okay." So I show up at church with his truck that night. I walk in, and I'm looking in the parking lot. I don't see my car anywhere. So I walk in the church and I see the preacher back there, and I go back to the preacher. I wait my turn to talk to him. And I said, "Hey, preacher," I said, "I didn't see my vehicle out there." And he goes, "We'll talk after service." I said, no, preacher, right now." No. He said, "Brother Martin, you got to preach right now." "No, I'm not going to talk to you." I said, no, you got to talk to me right now." So he said, "Well, okay, you want to know?" He said, he pulled out a little flip pad and he said, "It's not just your tire." He said, "You got a bunch of things wrong." I said, "Okay." So he started going through this list of ball joints and tie rods and all this other stuff. And all I could see and hear in my mind was cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. And I'm thinking, $5 ain't going to cover this. I don't. And I said, "Well, how much is it?" And he goes, "Well," he said, "he wants to be a blessing to you. So he's not going to charge you any labor." And I said, "Well, praise the Lord." I said, "How much is it?" He said, $787. He might as well have said $787,000. Hey, no way. I mean, I had no money. I didn't have a card. I didn't have nothing. And man, I figure, well, he said, "Well, what do you want me to do?" And I know this was God. It wasn't me for sure. I said, "Well, just tell him, go ahead and fix it." And I thought, "You dummy, what are you saying, man? You don't have any money to fix this thing." And I give me a couple days to pray. And you know, you think, well, maybe God will work it out this way, or God will work it out that way, or God will work it out. Man, I prayed and I prayed for the next few days and nothing happened. Thinking, "Oh, great, here we go." It comes, he calls me and he says, "Hey, it's time to pick your vehicle up." I said, "Praise the Lord." He said, "I'm coming to get you right now." And I'm thinking, "Oh God, please, what am I going to do? Do I just turn the vehicle back over to him? I don't know what to do, Lord." And so we get there and get over to the church. "What are you doing?" I'm throwing prayer flares again. "Lord, please, God, help somehow." And the guy comes out that owns the place, and we get talking a little bit, and he says, he told the preacher there, you know, he said, "Thanks for praying for my daughter." The preacher had been praying for his daughter about something. And he said, "How'd the meeting go?" And he said, "Man, we've had some people saved and just God's been working." And he says,
He said, thanks for fixing his vehicle. And he said, yeah, you're okay. And his eyes began to tear up and started crying. And I reached for the door to go in, and he kind of looked up and he said, what are you doing? And I said, going in to pay up. And he goes, oh man, don't worry about it. I said, what? He said, don't worry about it. It's all cared for. I said, what? Man, I don't know the guy. I grabbed him, I hugged him. I said, praise the Lord. Thank you, man. He's kind of looking at me strange, like, you know. And we walk away from it. God's my witness. This preacher's in heaven today, but if he were here today, he'd tell you this. We're walking away from there, but Lawson, and he looks over at me, and he says, he ain't never done nothing like that for me. What are you saying? God knew the supply that I needed that day. Now, you say that's a crazy story. Man, I'm telling you, we got a wonderful God. If he'll do it for me, he'll do it for anybody. Amen. He'll care for you. He'll take care of your needs. Hey, thank God that he sees both sides of the mountain. Only he can deliver. Only he can supply. And the last thing is the most important. And only he can save. Amen. Man, you sit here today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't know that your eternal destiny is secure in the arms of the Savior, you're facing a mountain of sin in your life. It's bigger than you can imagine. There ain't no possible way you can get around it. There ain't no possible way you can tunnel under it. You ain't never going to climb over top of it. But over 2,000 years ago, our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Amen. Mounted a cross on top of that mountain of sin, on Mount Calvary, if you would, and shed his precious blood to cover your sin and mine, Amen. To give us an opportunity to have a home in heaven with him. The Bible tells us very clearly that we're all sinners and we all come short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, and that because of that there's a wage that has to be paid, and the wages of sin is death. Now, you can go ahead and pay it for yourself if you want to, but I chose to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to know that I'm going to go to heaven. I can't pay that. If I pay that sin, that means I burn in hell forever and ever and ever. But Jesus already took that. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Boy, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, there's no better day than right now to trust him as your Savior. I was preaching a meeting down in Texas about almost 20 years ago. And there was a big old boy came in the back of the door of the church a Sunday morning, just like this, on a revival week. And he sat in the back row, back where this gentleman is in the back, right there. I'm looking right at him. And he had big old hair, long hair, back down the middle of his back. He had a beard down to here. I mean, he looked like a grizzly bear sat back there. And then I got preaching that morning and got done preaching. And I preached a message on hell that day. And man, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you be willing to at least admit it? And he raised his hand. And I said, man, now's the time to be saved if you don't know that for sure. That old boy got up and started walking down the aisle. And I mean, he's a big old boy. He's about 6'3", 6'4", and he's walking down the aisle. As he gets closer, I can see he's shaking. Man, he's shaking like a leaf. And I look, and there's water coming down off of his beard and dripping down on the ground. And man, he came up and he fell down at the altar, Brother Lawson, like somebody shot him. He just dropped on the altar. Man, he started sobbing and crying. I turned the service over to the preacher and I went down, knelt beside him. And I said, hey, bud, what's your name? And he couldn't even tell me his name. He was crying so hard. And finally, he choked out Lee. And I said, Lee, I said, man, what's going on? And he just kept shaking his head back and forth. And finally, was able to talk with him after he calmed down a little bit. I said, Lee. I said, are you saved? Are you born again? Do you know you're on your way to heaven? He said, I've said that I was, but there ain't no way. There's no way. Not the way I've lived my life, not who I am. It's impossible. So I got talking with him. I said, you know what it means to be saved? He said, I do. That day he bowed his head. He trusted Christ as his Savior at the altar. After that, he came out the door. Me and the preacher were shaking hands. He had to go clean up first. I mean, literally, there was a puddle of water on the carpet where he was crying in tears. And he came out the door and I said, Lee, did you mean business with God? He said, yes, I did. I said, then I'll see you tonight. He said, I'll see you tonight. He brought his family back with him that night. Now I get take it back one step. His daughter is the reason why he came. They were having a big Sunday for the Revival Sunday, and she'd been begging him to come.
And he came because of his daughter.
Amen.
But he got his wife and his son to come. His son got saved that night, on Sunday night. We went and talked to his wife on the Thursday night on the soul winning visitation time, and she claimed to be saved, but I could tell she wasn't saved. And Lee got involved in the church and everything, and after a couple months, I got a card from his wife, Laura, and she said, Brother Martin, I just want to let you know, I told you I was saved, and you said you didn't believe that. She watched her dad kill her mom. She had some horrific things going on in her life. She said, I just feel like that the devil has a place in hell for me. I said, not if you're saved, not if you're born again. He did, but man, that ticket has been punched, canceled, if you trusted Christ as your Savior. She sent me this card, and she said, I wanted you to know I got saved. Man, she got involved in the church, and they just got sold out involved. You say, where are they at today? Lee's an evangelist. Traveling, preaching. Why? He just came in one day and sat in church and realized, I'm an old lost sinner. Hey, Lee's just an old druggie. That ain't no different than who I was. I mean, ain't no different than who you are either. But you got a God that wants to save your soul. If you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, boy, there's no greater day than today to take care of that. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad I've got a God that sees both sides of my mountain. Mountains are simply one of two things in our life. First one is an obstacle. But if you're looking at it through the eyes of the Lord, it's just an opportunity.
Amen.
Just another opportunity to see God do a mighty work in your life. Thank God he sees both sides of our mountain. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be able to be here this morning. Speak for a few moments to your dear people, Lord, and I thank you for this church. I thank you for the lighthouse they are in this community. I thank you for all those that have shown up this morning. Lord, I don't know what these people are going through. Only you do. And Lord, I've tried to be sensitive to you and follow your leading. And Lord, we all face mountains. We all face trials. We all face heartaches. And Lord, there's no doubt across this room there's people going through that right now. And Father, I pray that you would meet their need. Help them to look to you and see that you are the God that can deliver, the only God that can deliver. You are the God that can supply whatever it is that they have need of in their life. And God, you are the God that can save them. And Lord, if they're not saved, if there's anybody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray that today would be the day they'd come and trust you before it's eternally too late. And maybe somebody just needs to make a decision this morning about those mountains in their life. Maybe they just need to come to an altar and leave that mountain here and walk away trusting you. God, help us to get our eyes off the mountain and our eyes back on the God of the mountain. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, for what you've done for us. Do the work you want to do during the altar time, I pray, in Jesus' name. Musician begins to play. Stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. I turn it over to preacher.